So it's the night before the feast of the Passover and the night before Jesus is crucified. The 12 apostles are eating with Jesus, that most important of all meals, commonly known as the Last Supper, that you have seen in the video. Jesus had just said in John 13, verse 21, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." John was reclining next to Jesus and asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, probably in a low voice so that only John could hear, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." Then he dipped the bread and gave it to Judas and said, "What you are going to do, do quickly." And Judas immediately leaves. The next thing Jesus says, that's in verse 31, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." At the very moment when the final betrayal has been set in motion, at that moment Jesus says, "Now." Now that the final process of being handed over to be killed is in motion, now the Son of Man, Jesus, will shine with the greatest glory, and God will shine gloriously in him. While John watches Judas leave, which he cannot believe that he is a betrayer, he hears Jesus say, "Now is the Son of Man glorified." John must have been experiencing one of the most emotionally charged moments of his life, hearing these things: betray, Judas, now glorified, glory. Then the next word he heard was, "Little children." As we can see in our text, John chapter 13, 33 to 35. "Little children, I'm going where you cannot come. I'm leaving you. Up until now, everyone knows you are my disciples because they see you following me around Judea and Galilee. We eat together, we pray together, we rest together. You put your life on risk by just being identified with me. But now, I will not be here any longer for you to follow. Following my physical presence will not be the mark of your discipleship anymore. So I give you a new mark, a new commandment: love each other, little children." So here's John with his heart bursting with conflicting emotions. Betrayal has been put in motion. The glory of God is about to be seen. Jesus is loving them, is leaving them. In his absence, love for each other is to bind them together and bind them to him. And in a moment like this, Jesus reaches for an expression of tender affection and calls them all little children. Sorry for using our native tongue, but I remember when a mother, yung or lola na malapit ng pumanaw, I just remember, maybe you have experienced this, ang madalas na isa sa mga bili niya, "Mga anak, magmahalan kayo." what's a really tender affection. And here we can see. It's like, sorry, if I will translate that a mother, ang ina, isang ina, sinabi niya, mga anak, magmahalan kayo. It's like a mother or a grandmother just about to give her the last breath that he will leave this message. My little children, my children, love one another. Consider a few things. This word, little children, in Greek word is technia, occurs only here in the Gospel of John. There were other places it could have been used, as when Jesus called out to the disciples in John 21 verse 5. Children, do you have any fish? Children, do you have any fish? But that's a different word. That's paideia. Only here that he called his friends, his disciples, little children. Not even in the entire New Testament, except for one book, in the first book, first letter, John's first letter, or Ephesians, wherein it is used 7 times in 5 chapters. In 1 John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, verse 12, 18, 28, and also in chapter 3 of 1 John, verses 7, 18, and lastly, on the 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Just as Jesus called his friends little children, the word becomes John's favorite name for his flock. As you read these three, 1 John, the letters of John to his flock, little children. Coincidence? Perhaps not. But consider this. Nowhere else in the New Testament does the term new commandment occur outside this story, except in John's first and second letter. Of all the New Testament writers, only John picked up on this term. And we'll see in 1 John chapter 2, 7 and 8. You can follow through in your Bible in 1 John chapter 2. He says there, beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. In verse 8. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. John Piper says, and I quote, so I feel constrained to believe that John was properly moved and shaped by this moment at the Last Supper. And the connection with his first letter inclined me to think that the earliest and most authoritative commentary on the new commandment in John 13, 34 and 35 is what John says about it in his first letter. First, consider, or here are two striking things about the way John handles Jesus' new commandment. Number one, it's the love of God, our model. John always talks about the love of God for his children, the love of the Father. That's in 1 John 3:1. See what kind of love, or in other translation, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. God loved us in giving Jesus for us. And when it comes to the one we should model our love on, and when it comes to the one we should model our love on, John doesn't say love like Jesus. He says love like God. In 1 John 4, 10-11, it says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What overcomes him is the thought, "I was leaning on the shoulder of God. God had put Judas in motion. God was about to be glorified on the cross. God told us to love each other like Jesus, that is, like God." In his first letter, John isn't minimizing Jesus when he puts all the focus on the love of God in Jesus. He is maximizing Jesus. This Jesus who gave us the new commandment and told us to love each other the way He loved us, this Jesus is God incarnate. And John could not get over the truth. God was loving us there that night. God was loving us the next morning. Every act of Jesus, the Son, was an act of God, the Father. John is not saying the love of Jesus is not important. He is saying the love of Jesus is the love of God. So when the new commandment says, love each other, love one another, as I have loved you, it means as God has loved you. Secondly, this is how you will know. So it says in John chapter 13, verse 35. "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." This is how you will know, validates a real disciple. So Jesus said in verse 35, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." John pondered very deeply the phrase, "my disciples," and what must happen for that to be known. And what he concluded was that being a disciple means being truly born again. To be a disciple is not just to be outwardly aligned with a Christian church or a Christian movement or a Christian name, but miraculously changed by the Spirit into a person with a new heart of love for the Father and for Jesus and for His followers, and of course, for His enemies. But John's emphasis falls on loving fellow believers, just like Jesus did here in John chapter 13, verse 34, that you love one another. And love is how you can know this has happened. We'll see in 1 John 4, 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." In verse 8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. In verse 14, verse John 3:14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. And lastly, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Or as Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. All people will have good evidence that you are born of God and know God and are a child of God and are in the light and no longer in the darkness. People will know you are truly a disciple of Jesus by whether you have been given a new heart of trust in Jesus and love for his followers. And consider 1 John 3, 23. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just he has commanded us. And this is his commandment. Notice that this is his commandment, singular, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he was commanded us. In other words, in John's mind, Jesus' command to believe on him and his command to love each other are inseparable. So together, he calls them one commandment. People won't know you are a disciple of Jesus if you make no profession of faith in Jesus. But if you declare yourself openly to be a disciple of Jesus, your Savior, your Lord, your treasure, then your love for others will be decisive in showing that you are real. Are you a real or a true believer? Are you really a disciple? Is he really your treasure? Have you really been changed by Jesus? They will all know if you have love for one another. So when Jesus says in John 13, verse 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He meant love confirms that your profession of faith in me is real. So, what makes this new? If we see what makes the commandment new, we will see what makes it have such compelling power to prove the true discipleship, true faith in Jesus. The command to love each other is not new in and of itself. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What happens to be new is the way we are to love, that is, as Jesus has loved us. As in verse 34, second portion, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another, as Jesus has loved us. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Never before had the Son of God come into the world and laid down his life for his people. that had never happened before. This degree of greatness, having this degree of sacrifice, had never happened. This is new. So is Jesus simply saying, if you imitate this kind of sacrifice in loving each other, you will be fulfilling the newness of this commandment? Two things that we can see. Number one, more than imitation. You'll see in 1 John chapter 2, 8 to 10. It's more, number one, it's more than imitation. Verse 8 in 1 John chapter 2. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you. It is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Which is true in him and in you. It is truly new in Jesus, and it's truly new in you. Jesus is the Messiah. His coming was the dawn of the kingdom of God. He was the light of the world. And he said, in verse 31 again in John 13, that this night the Son of Man will be glorified and God in him. This night the light would shine most brightly when he lays down his life for his friends. So as we read through again in 1 John 2, 8 to 10, the rest of the verses, in verse 9, whoever says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. And lastly, in verse 10, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. In other words, what makes the disciples' love for each other new, and this command for it new, is that they are not just copying the light. They are in this light. They are in the love of Jesus. This is how the Apostle John sees the newness of this love. The commandment for us to love each other, just as Jesus' love, was not mainly a command for imitation, but for participation, for manifestation, for demonstration. John says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Not copying Jesus, but connecting to Jesus. Secondly, not only more than an imitation, but loving with his love. When we love each other in obedience to the new commandment, we are loving each other with the love of Jesus. In John 15, verses 12 to 13, makes the meaning clear. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Yes, and how do we love like that? In John 15, verse 9. In John 15, verse 9, yes. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. We are grafted into the life and love of Christ. We love as he loved, because we love with his love. This is our newness. This is the new commandment. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Yes, but not by copying my fruit, but by connecting to my vine. You don't mainly imitate. You participate. Your love for each other is not a simulation of mine, but a manifestation of mine. You are the branches. I am the vine. You abide in me. You can bear fruit and prove to me to be my disciples. This is how all people know you are truly my disciples. And in conclusion, let me read. A story. A visitor was being shown around a leper colony in India. At noon, a gong sounded for the midday meal. People came from all parts of the compound to the dining hall. All at once, peals of laughter filled the air. Two young men, one riding on the other's back. Imagine this story. Two young men, one riding on the other's back, were pretending to be a horse. And a rider, and were having loads of fun. Then as the visitor watched, he saw that the man who carried his friend was blind, and the man on his back was lame or crippled. The one who could not see used his feet. The one who could not walk used his eyes. Together, they help each other, and they found great joy in doing it. Imagine a church like that, each member using his or her strength to make up for another's weakness. What a practical example of loving one another. So Glengarn Baptist Church, I wonder if our Brother Jersey or can plus our logo. In fact, I've talked to a brother who make this logo maybe almost 10 years or in fact, we're still here. This logo. I still have a copy. I forgot to bring a copy of our program, which we can use to take down notes when our pastor is preaching. And I noticed that at the back of that program, we still have that logo. And the caption that we use, maybe it's the last minute, I forgot to bring the. You can see that one giveaway? The bucket. That's a big logo, the blue one. I was about to bring that. So that's our logo. And it's small, and a caption, I remember, is a small church with a big heart for God. And if you may, you can add for the brethren. And what you can see, a heart symbolizes what? Love. So little children, this is what Jesus is calling for among us. Love one another. Just as I love you, you also are to love one another. And also as Paul in Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says there, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. In Philippians 2, verse 4. Or lay down your privilege just for one another. Love your brothers and sisters across all racial and ethnic backgrounds. Love the weakest and oldest and youngest. Love the disabled. Love and forgive those who hurt and wrong you or sin against you. It's certain when you love that you cannot atone for anyone's sin, but you can do something like it, because it says in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. In Proverbs 10, 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. How blessed is the church that loves like this. And for those who are not a disciple of Jesus yet, I pray to God that He will give you the faith to believe, to trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Let us pray.